Testing 1, 2, 6. I never was good with math. I must first make an essential statement to you for praying for me, praying me out of some dark days in this year. There's some difficult days. Deborah stood so close beside me, and I remember shuffling in here one Saturday morning with the prayer group. Mike gave me a list of scriptures, and we wore that sheet out, praying and praying. Early this morning, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but one of the things I think we're going to do at the end of the service, I believe the Lord wants us to activate our faith. Activate it. One of the big enemies we have is being passive. Now, you have faith, you're going to be here on Wednesday night. But we want to activate that. Christmas is a time of miracles. By the way, I didn't finish my thought there. I really believe I'm standing here in answer to your prayers. That's how powerful prayer is, and we believe that. He wants us healed. I feel stronger than one of Coach Lane's third basemen. Christmas is a time of miracles. I want to share this because I don't think most of you know this. Deborah and I are a miracle. Our marriage is a miracle. Those of you who've been married 50 years, don't tell me yours is. Our spouses died from COVID. Both of them died alone. No one around except their angels. Neither one of us had planned to marry again. Colleen Nesbitt was the human instrument that put us together. But we believe God, we know God has put us together for kingdom purposes. We don't intend to sit around the pool drinking daiquiris. Non-alcoholic, of course. I know some of you listen real well. But we only knew each other 33 days. Now that may not be recommended for everybody. But here's a word. When you know God is into something, you don't have to sit on the porch and twiddle your thumbs. Okay, you can work through that. Go ahead and put my word up there, Jake. I want to talk to you tonight about the power of condescension. It's not a word we use much. That's the reason I had him put it up there. Condescension is a voluntary, I love this definition, a voluntary descent from one's rank or dignity in relation to an inferior party. That's Christmas. Think about it. It's a word we don't use a lot, but we couldn't live without it. A good Florence way to say that is, God went to great lengths to get to us. That's the Christmas story. That's condescension. A reference, and I'm really not going to... By the way, he didn't tell you this. He asked me yesterday to do this. So... this is going to be more of a, you know, when it's Christmas, we use that little phrase, well, it's Christmas. Well, you can have another piece of cake because it's Christmas. Or you take a little trip you don't really need to because it's Christmas. Well, tonight, I'm not going to do a structural message like I usually do because it's Christmas. Since I had so much time to prepare, but I'm ready. I hope. Yes, in season, out of season. By the way, he felt led to do this, so I felt led also. So when you feel led, you get heavy. Philippians 2:7-8. Here's a picture of condescension. He emptied himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. That's the Christmas message. That's condescension. That's one who who left his descent from one's rank or dignity. Do you think he had rank or dignity? I think so. To one of inferior person. That's us. He emptied, now don't miss this. He emptied himself and became obedient. That is a reference to the fact that Jesus was God. Now don't miss this, because Jesus had to obey death. You and I don't obey, we're servants of death. But he had to be obedient to death. And that meant more to me than did you. But he became obedient to death. And so it's a voluntary descent. The distance Jesus came for us, that's condescension. What I'm sharing tonight is more of a homily, I guess, my random thoughts some way. Christmas is, as I said, is about miracles, and I've shared with you about Deborah and me. This has been a challenging year for us, all of us. We talk to a lot of people, and people who love God are going through some difficult times. That's not a mention of unbelief at all. But we're going through, because Proverbs 29:2 says, when evil men rule, people mourn. And that's where we are. And bless God, we're going to get through it, because he's going to get through it. He's going to get us through this. And sometimes when we're like this, when we're in these, we're prone to feel like we don't really matter a lot. I mean, look at the decisions are being made. Sometimes, don't you think, we don't really have a lot to do with what's going on? I don't think Bethlehem settled all of that. Bethlehem says to you, there'll never be a day you live that I'm not there with you. I heard your cries. I sent my son in the fullness of time. When all the geography and the highways and Alexander the Great and all his conquering, all that had been put into place, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Praise God. So, when we speak, and this is important, when we speak despairingly of ourselves, we do great dishonor to the power of the cross. He considered you worthy enough to die for. Don't speak negative about yourself. Well, I'm just this. No, we're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High God. We get up in the morning with a little, I wrote a little mantra for us that we're his children. We're nothing that will happen to us takes him by surprise. Nothing. We're assured that everything that happens to you and to me, he is working it out for our good, whether we see it or not in the present. Sometimes he feels so far away, but he is so close. Never, never in the history of mankind did anyone ever stoop as low as Jesus did. Buddha didn't do it. Muhammad didn't do it. Jesus did it. No one ever stooped as low as our Lord Jesus stooped. Another way to say condescension is unselfish disregard for one's own self-interest. Unconscious disregard for one's self-interest. Dr. George Jim Truitt was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas during the 40s, maybe in the 50s. And Dr. Truitt was such an unselfish man that the treasurer would give him the money for his week's work after church, and he'd give it away before they got home. And they got in such need of groceries, they had to start giving the money to Mrs. Truitt. That's just who George Truitt was. And when he died, all the flags in Dallas were flown at half-mast. What a man of God. Gave his money away. We don't demand anything in kingdom economy. God puts us where he wants us to be. He knows what he's doing with you. Again, it doesn't matter what it looks like. We don't live by what we see. We live by what he says. We live by faith. No one ever, remember those songs? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. The one who created the universe was wrapped and enveloped in the womb of a young lady. The one who hung the stars, laid under those stars one night in a cold stable. We would do well to take off our shoes more. When we pastored in Lebanon, Tennessee, God was blessing, and I was more busy than I should have been. I know that now. I didn't know it when I was 26. And when I would come home, Todd at the time had been 5 or 6, and he would say, "Daddy, take your shoes off." Daddy, he knew if I took my shoes off, I was home for the evening. And we need to take our shoes off more. When we come to these great doctrines, like the Incarnation, and we know people trivialize and marginalize Christmas, but we're not going to. Why should we be surprised the world acts like the world? People trivialize, well, Christmas is for children. There's not a word of that in Scripture. This Christianity is not trifling anything. The Incarnation is life and death. God became man. Pastor Eddie says that sometimes God put on a human suit. He dwelt, He tabernacled among us. Aren't you glad Jesus came to save sinners? Aren't you glad He came to save sinners? We don't take our shoes off enough. At the manger, we get humility. We should take our shoes off at the manger for a minute. I tell you, if we would pause at the manger for a minute, we'd be a lot more kind to each other. We get our submissiveness from the cross. At the empty tomb, we get our hope. At the ascension, we get our power. If He were not God incarnate, this is worth coming for. If He were not God incarnate, He has no right to claim authority over man. Let's not talk about. I don't like the magic of Christmas, doesn't it? Kind of. I just try to keep my mouth shut when I'm around that. It's not always easy for me to do. The magic of Christmas. There was nothing magic about that baby boy in that dirty stable. There was nothing magic about Calvary. The magic of Christmas? No. It's a historical fact. I've never shared this publicly. I've thought about it for years. There is a brutal side to Christmas. There's a brutal side. Matthew 2:16, Herod sought to kill every baby boy under 2 years of age. Listen, folks, do you think those mothers enjoyed the birth of that child? I don't think so. And when Pastor Doc preaches, he can unwrap all that. We can't wrap our minds around that. Those mothers must have not been proud at all that a child was born that just lost theirs. There's a brutal side to Christmas. You know that in your own life. Children don't call you. Your grandchildren don't come by unless they need money. I'm just being honest with you because we deal with this on a daily basis. The reality of Christmas, it's wonderful, yes, nothing like it. But there's a dark side to it. Family dysfunctions and tensions. Sometimes you feel pressured. Somebody said Christmas is when you spend money you don't have for gifts you don't need to people who don't want it. But we don't have to live there, do we? No. Praise God, we can be insulated from all this. Thank God for the Christ child. Thank you, Lord, for coming. We say sometimes, I said it, I don't deserve to be treated like that from children or grandchildren, whatever. Let me remind you of something. You don't want to really be treated like you deserve to be treated. I don't. Aren't you glad that He took what He didn't deserve for us who deserved a lot? And He gave us what we didn't deserve and gave Him what we did deserve. Show mercy. Hallelujah for the cross. Now, I say this every Christmas. Anybody can love a baby. It's just true. Anybody can love a baby. But you and I know this baby grew in stature and favor with God and man. Sometimes during the season, I still, and I do it too. It's okay. But I see the crowds bustling, and I just think to myself, Jesus, You're still causing a stir. Doesn't He? That's just who He is. He's inescapable. He's indescribable. He's inexhaustible. That's just who He is. Anybody can love a baby. And on this thing of incarnation and redemption, this is important to know. Folks, it's important that we think right. Thank God for a pastor who expounds the Word week after week. He says, I'm going to show you what it says in the book. He says, it's not so important what we do as what we think. Because your thinking will affect your doing. It's important that we think right. Days like this, sometime between now and next November, next election day, we're going to have to be mentally tough. We're going to have to know what we believe and who we believe. I'm telling you, God's going to take care of His kids, no matter how dark it looks. The burning question in the New Testament is not, why would a loving God allow someone to go to hell? But why would a holy God allow anyone to go to heaven? That's the theology of the New Testament. That's what Paul wrestled with in Romans. How could we ever be redeemed? I heard a lady just weeks ago, she said, Brother Larry, she said, right before I got saved, here's what she said. She said, I realized I couldn't bring anything to Jesus but my sin. That's a good way to get saved. We learn this about Christmas. The way up is the way down. The way down. And then there's a tumult of joy over this wonderful birth. For the virgin's dear boy is the Lord of the earth. So that's what it is. Someone said, people who discard these great, high, and holy doctrines. An incarnation is a mystery. Paul said it was. 1 Timothy, he said, the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. That is a mystery. We can't wrap our minds around that. And what you do in the New Testament, here's what happens. When you come to a mystery, what do? You worship. Remember when Peter finally caught those fish? He said, oh, Lord, depart from me. What did he do? He worshipped. When Paul did those difficult chapters, Romans 9, 10, and 11, he finally just came to say, oh, who is worthy? Who can imagine all of these things? Who can comprehend all of these things? What did he do? He worshipped. That's a good thing for you and me to do. When you just pray and pray and you pray and you don't get that miracle you wanted, you really believed for, and people believe. Here's what stands when nothing else will. You can take this to the bank, 7:24. The just shall live by faith. We don't live by the just. It doesn't say the just shall live by their healing. It doesn't say the just shall live by their experiences. The just shall live by faith. Four times it's mentioned in Habakkuk, then Romans, and Galatians, and Hebrews. Must be important. You can lay your head down tonight on your pillow and say, the just shall live by faith. I can't comprehend it all, but I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able. One final word. One wise man, wiser than me, said, these high and holy doctrines are of little significance to men with dark and dull hearts. Pathetically true. And here's my final word. In this season, and any season, don't be afraid. Did you know that that phrase, in one way or another, fear not or don't be afraid, is used 366 times in the Bible? The angel said that to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. They said it to Zechariah, to Elizabeth. Fear not. And Zechariah couldn't hardly go, so he got lockjaw for 6 months. First thing, what was the very first thing the resurrected Lord said to His disciples? Fear not. Fear not. So we don't live by fear. We live by faith. Come hell or high water, sink, swim. I heard Jack Deere say one time, if I'm going down, I'm going down believing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's my sermonette. That's my 24-hour preparation time. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to have a prayer time. I want to encourage you tonight to activate what faith you have. Don't be passive. What I mean by that is when things come against you, I guess it's just meant to be. No. We were meant to. Here's a word. God wants you to win in the skin you're in. One of the clearest words I ever got, we were going through a transition. I feel like I've been transitioning all my life. We were going through another church dispute. And as clear as I've ever heard anything, the Lord said to me, find your lane and run in it. If you watch somebody over here run their lane, they're going to criticize you for how you swing your arms. If you look over here, that guy's running his lane, you aren't going to make it to the finish line. The only way we're going to make it, find our lane and run in it. And that's what Deborah and I are doing. We're not real sure. We just know we're together for kingdom purposes. And you are too. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Let's stand together. Our prayer teams will be here. We'll be here to pray for you and with you. It can be a difficult season, but God wants to insulate you from that. I preached in a country church several weeks ago, and the Lord gave me this question. Is the God who is currently in you big enough to make a difference? Nobody can answer that but you. Is the God I now know big enough to make a difference in my life? Lord Jesus. Well, thank you. This is a Christmas gift. I say you may not have known it, but Christmas gifts come in different ways. This was a gift to me, to be able to preach 5 days before Christmas. So whatever your need is, He's bigger. That's not preacher talk, that's reality. If you need to come, Lord, just have your way and will in this time. Holy Spirit, enamor into our spirit man the truth of your word. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, C.S. Lewis said, You became the Son of Man so we could become sons of God and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you.
Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this good word we heard, Lord. for the truth. Thank you for these precious ones that are here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the season that we find ourselves in. We celebrate a baby born in Bethlehem. As the word is taught, a child was born, but a son was given. Thank you, Lord, that you live, you died, and you live. That even tonight you're seated at the right hand of the Father. We make a decree as we leave this building, Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon each of you and give you his peace. All of God's people said amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here.